Last week we began the second Torah in Aris HaKadosh. Das HaKadosh Memkor HaChai. We were learning that even though the word Kodesh, is something which is beyond definition, nevertheless, Kodesh is the word that we use to look at everything in this world with eyes that are different than those of Chol. We're learning this mimer is the mimer of Chochmas HaKadosh. And what is it that's different? What's the difference between Chochmas HaKadosh and Chochmas HaChol? And we began in the first Torah to learn that Das HaKadosh is Mimkor Chaim. That the difference is that anything that we look at in this world, whatever we see in Metzias, when we look at it through the eyes of Chaya Chaim, Mekor Chaim, the source of all life, and we study it, we try to understand it through the eyes of Torah, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, then we are looking at something from the perspective of its true source, from the source of life, from the life of all life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And over here in the second Torah in Aris HaKadosh, Rav Kook is teaching us that in order for us to be able to be changed by what we see and what we learn, we have to begin to live a life of Kodesh, where we not only study and learn the Seder of the Shtalshlus of how everything comes. We were talking about this a lot last week. How everything that we see in this world that seems to us to be everything is Yesh, Yesh, Yesh. We really, everything is Yesh Me'ayin, but on a deeper level, the true Yesh, true reality is the one that's beyond what we see with our eyes. And the world that we're in is a world of Ayin, and to the degree that we can connect to that Ayin, we're able to tap into what's called Kodesh. Now we're in the middle of this Torah, in the paragraph that says, Oz Yisyashu Kol Ha'idurim. Oz Yisyashu Kol Ha'idurim Mitzad Shirak Oz Behayos HaGova HaElyon Shel Hamadim Ezgala. Rav Kook was living in a time where there was tremendous progress in science. It was a very exciting time. It was the time where Einstein's Mahalach was being revealed to the world, and many, many other things that came along with that. And yet what Rav Kook is saying is that all of those discoveries and all that's happening in the world of Mada, of science, is only the last stop, is only the sofa hishtalshlus of a gova elyon, of something much higher. And when he says Oz Yisyashu Kol HaHidurim, Oz Yisyashu Kol HaHidurim, I don't know exactly what he means. Then I think he's just saying then all that's beautiful can be truly seen in a clear way, in a way that's yashar, that's straight, that's true. See, what happens is that the infinite light of Hashem, as we were learning last week, the infinite light of Hashem, the whole Torah Atzilus, the infinite light of Hashem descends level after level after level, and the tachlis of a person is to be able to be in this world and to see how every single thing in his life and everything that he's learning has a kav yashar is bound by a kav yashar, by a straight line, all the way up to the Creator. But what happens in life is that we don't see that, and we get sidrait, we get lost. So az yisyash v'kol ha'idur mitzad shirak az. Only then, when we connect to Kodesh, to Kedusha, which means when we attach every single thing in our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we were learning by the Baal Shem Tov Shir this morning, and we see that every single thing, we believe that every single thing comes from the Mekor HaChayim, from true Yesh, and that true existence is that which we can't see with our eyes, and what we see with our eyes is only the Sof Maisa. Once we live with this perspective, Oz Yisyashu Kol HaYidurim, Mitzad Shirak Oz, only then, Beyos HaGova HaElyon Shel Hamadim Esgala, then will the true height, the true greatness, the Gova HaElyon of science, Shel Hamadim Esgala, then of knowledge, HaGova HaElyon, where all knowledge comes from, Yachas Hamad Nerach B'Tivay, and then knowledge will be able to be evaluated and appreciated for what it really is. But kol zman sha'olam esgala rak ayidei selolav hakehim, as long as the world is only revealed, is only seen by us, ayidei selolav hakehim, by its dim shadows, by the shadows, the shade. And we're not thinking about where all of this comes from, and we're just looking at the world. Even the great scientists who are studying the world, but they're studying this world, ki'ilu, that's it. This is the whole world. This is all that exists. With all of their great discoveries, Rav Kook says, it's only mezgala in such a way, it's only just a very dim, very dark shade, shadows. Sheheim hasharas hakiroso, Mitzat Sivov Habodidim Bakirosa Vachitzanyas, which is just a way of sort of estimating, Hashara Sakirosa, a way of approximating what things are based upon Sivov Habodidim, the isolated, separated colors, Vakirosa Vachitzanyas, and one's external way of seeing things. In other words, if you have a puzzle, and you see a few of the pieces, you don't have the picture, you don't have the box with the picture on it, you have some of the pieces, and there's a piece over here, and there's another piece over there, so you're able to get some sense of something beautiful that's in formation, you're able to get some sense of something beautiful that is here. But you just don't have the picture. You have a piece, this piece of the puzzle, that piece of the puzzle. You have some blue, light blue, it looks like it's a sky. And you have some dark green, it looks like it's grass. But you don't have the picture. So Rav Kook is saying is that as long as man tries to understand reality and studies the world without the Teres HaTzilus, as we were learning last week, without Pnimis HaTorah, which is what we're going to be getting to, without Kabbalah and Pnimis HaTorah, without at least the most basic belief that this is not what we see in front of our eyes, is only a tiny, tiny, tiny part of creation, of what it really is, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makor HaChayim. So then you're seeing, Rav Kook says, he calls them, it's an estimation, it's an approximation. You can look at these pieces of the puzzle, and in your mind, you try to put them together, and maybe there's some sort of an idea of what this could potentially look like, but you don't really have it, because all you're able to see is mitzad sevav habodedim. You're able to see the separate colors, vakaros vachitzanias, and you only are able to see it from the outside. And all of that is kolo nechshav. It's considered like nothing. That's why the puzzle is not even a good marshal, because that's already something. Let's say it's a you know, the children have a 20-piece puzzle. They get older, they have 100 pieces, and people have a 500, 1,000-piece puzzle. So what if you have a puzzle that consists of infinite pieces? So what you're looking at on the table, when you're looking at the pieces that you have, which all the scientists are scrambling to look under the microscope and to study, and they claim that now they understand the mahus, they understand what this is. All of it is kolo nechshav. It's kolo nechshav. It's kolo. You know that even when you meet somebody and you're talking to the person for 5 minutes, so then you're able to touch up this whole person, who he is, without knowing where he comes from and what he's been through and his whole background and his whole life. You're able to already come to an understanding of who he is. You know, it's kolo nechshav. It's like it's nothing. It's kolo nechshav. What you spoke to this person for 5 minutes, it's kolo nechshav. It's like it's nothing. You don't know where this person comes from, without knowing his parents and where he went to school and what he did in all of his life. It's kolo nechshav. It's like it's nothing. So you have psychology is not even really a science. It's all psychology is all a hashara. It's all an estimation, an approximation. It's not any. There are those who want to make it look like it's some sort of a science. It's not even a science. Science is also not science. But psychology itself is only mamish hashara. You give somebody $200 for 45 minutes, and he tells you a couple of things, and then you have an understanding of who this person is. It's like nachshav klum. It's klum. That doesn't mean that it's not kedai to try and to get some help because some practical things, whatever it is. But the truth is kolay nachshav. It's kolay nachshav. What this person is and who he is and what his life is. Besides that a therapist can only talk about a level, maybe a little bit of nefesh, maybe, but bechlal not the inyan of neshama, let alone higher madrigas of yechida, of ruach and yechida and chay. Which the therapist knows shaychus to these inyanim of who the person is be'emes, or who this person be'emes really is. It's kolay nechshav. And it's the same when you look at something in the world physically. So at the table, what we see in front of our eyes, it's kolay nechshav. It's kolay nechshav. We were talking about that a little bit last week. It's kolay nechshav. It's not like any. It's nothing. What we see is something. It's kolay nechshav. Lumas hakinyan hamadoi hamuchlat. In comparison to the true acquisition, or the acquisition of absolute knowledge, a kinyan hamadoi hamuchlat, kinyan hamadoi hamuchlat, an absolute and real and true acquisition of knowledge, which means to know everything by way of atzilus, of what it is in the higher world, of where it comes from. That's what all of chachmas hakabbalah is about, is to understand, as I explained last week. What is a table? What is paper? What's the nefesh, ruach, neshama? To understand from that perspective of gova ha'elyon, that's called kodesh. That's called kodesh. Shudas Hashem. Shudas Hashem. Hamizbalit aydei da'as ha'olam b'tor po'al Hashem. This becomes more and more clear by trying to understand the world as po'al Hashem. By seeing everything in the world and trying to understand everything that exists from that perspective of everything being po'al Hashem. What Hashem has done, what Hashem has created. It's Hashem's creation. Shel ze nesuos hein einei kol chai. This is the truth that the eyes of all that exist are turned to, that are trying to find out, trying to understand. Shel ze nesuos hein einei kol chai. And that's, you know, we're now in the sugya of Yitzchak Avinu, and that's the inyan in Rabbi Nachman's Purim Maisis in the story of the seven beggars. But that Yitzchak Avinu, of course, is the blind beggar, and the inyan of being blind, as you recall from the story that I'm sure that you've seen, but there Rabbi Nachman says is that the blind beggar says, "You think that I can't see? I see so much that I don't see anything." What does that mean? I see so much that I don't see anything. And then the whole story that he tells to the Chasna Kala, I see so much that I don't see anything, that I can't see as well. Like Yitzchak Avinu couldn't see. That Yitzchak Avinu is the blind beggar, but he used to say, I see so much that I can't see anything, meaning that I see so much of the Po'al Hashem that I can't see anything anymore the way that people look at it in this world. I can't see anything because I see everything from that place of nothing, of ayin, which is true existence. So I can't see anything. Other people, everybody that can see, they're stuck on what they see with their eyes. But the blind beggar says, I see so much. As you look at me and you see me as somebody that's blind, the truth is that I see so much that I can't see anything. I can't see anything means I see nothing. I see the nothing that is the source of all creation. I see that. And because that's the world that I live in, so I don't look at this world. This whole world is not worth anything for me to see. Because I see the gestaltless, I see where it comes from, where everything comes from. So when I look at the world, I see nothing. Like if you're a parent and your kid is acting up, and you're able to be on a higher level, a little bit of a Yitzchak Avinu. So you look at that kid, and the kid is acting up. If you're a little bit of Yitzchak Avinu, you could look at that kid acting up, and you could say, I see nothing. The kid is carrying on. He's acting up. Is that truly who that child is? Why is the kid acting like that? Why is the kid acting like that? What's the histalsus? What brought the child to want so much attention in school that he's carrying on in class and that he's getting thrown out and he's going, you know, getting in trouble? So if you're just a person that's bound to this world and you're far from that which is called Das HaKodesh or Chochmas HaKodesh, so then you study this child just based upon the behavior, and then it comes all of the bad stuff and the yelling and the criticizing and destroying the child and so on. But if you're connected to Das HaKodesh, then you're able to look at this child and say, I don't see anything. I don't see this. Now, does that mean you could ignore it? They're going to throw the kid out of school, am I? It doesn't mean to ignore it, but it means to look at it in an entirely different way, as being Po'al Hashem, and to try to understand it in a much deeper way than just to try to be metapa with the problem, but not to understand with the symptom, and not to understand where it really comes from. Das HaKadosh, Chachmas HaKadosh, looks at something as being Po'al Hashem. And this is a child, and the child is Po'al Hashem more obvious than anything else. Yitzchak Avinu says, I see so much that I don't see anything. That I don't see anything. And that's what I mentioned. We just reviewed this 2 weeks ago. That was I think it was Nischabur or the other Chabur, but, and that's what happened with the Rebbe Rashab, or maybe in the Yosef HaTzadik Chabur, there was a Rebbe that wanted to throw the boy out because the boy was carrying on in yeshiva. And the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch, the Rebbe Rashab heard that there was a boch that was being thrown out of yeshiva, and he asked to speak to the boy's Rebbe that was throwing him out, and he said, what is it? Why are you throwing him out of yeshiva? So he said that there were rumors going around that he was reading Goyisha books, and now I myself saw that he was reading such a book, that he had such a book. So the Rebbe Shab, you know, what did the Rebbe Shab tell him? He said, why did you see that? So he said, Rabbi, I saw it because he was carrying the book. So the Rebbe Shab told him, don't see it. Why do you see that? Don't see it. Think about that the next time when it comes to the kids. Don't see it. Don't see it. What, the Rebbe Shab is naive? And it's nothing that this boy is reading such things? He was telling him, see something else. Don't see that. Try to see something else. You know, maybe he's looking for something, right? Why is he reading this? He's looking for something. So don't see it. But don't see the last stop. Try to see, like Yitzhak Avinu, who says, I don't see the world. I see so much that I don't see it. I don't see this. I see something, I see where it comes from. So any time that we try to do that, we're trying to connect to Chachmas HaKadosh, the Pol Hashem. And this is what Rav Kook says, Shel Zen Nesuis Hein Einei Kol Chai, the eyes of all that live are turned towards that. In other words, everything is trying to see the world in such a way, through the eyes of Das HaKadosh Mimkor HaChaim. V'chol Omol, V'zeh Kol Ha'adam. Zeh Kol Ha'adam. That's all that man is. That's everything. Kol HaMotzi and all that exists. Kol HaMukar V'Anoidam. All that we recognize and know is all Po'al Hashem. V'chol omal ha'olam, v'chol omal ha'olam, and all of the hard work of the world, all that everybody's trying to do, v'chol omal ha'olam ve'iluyei madregoisav, and all that everything aspires and all aspiring to, is u'mechainen rak Kidesh Yovo Ha'or Halyon Shlamadaus Lizgarlus Bashetav Makramitasa. Is truly, really, all the effort that is being put in to try to understand the world, to try to know and to understand people and things, and all that exists. He says, really, all of this is only to establish such a world where the higher light of Hashem, of the true light of Hashem, of wisdom, will be revealed b'shetef mekar mitaso, like in all of, in a, like the flood, a flood coming from the source of truth. That's really, people are trying to get to the bottom of things. People are trying to understand. People want to know. But the only way to truly know is by not seeing this world. And once a person is able to turn away from the world as we see it and to ascend that sulam of Atzilus, that ladder that ascends to the spheres and to the higher world and so on, only then can a person see the world for what it truly is, which is a gilui of shetef makara, which is a revelation of a great flood, a powerful flood of that comes from the source of all truth, of Hashem. We'll see later on how Rav Kook ties all of this into the practical way. I mean, as practical as Rav Kook can be, we can understand from what he's writing, into studying Pnimus HaTorah, into learning Razeh HaTorah. When we say in the davening on Yom Kippur, Atei Yodei Razeh Olam V'Salumos Tisrei Kol Chai, Atei Yodei Razeh Olam. Raz means what? Secrets. You understand the secrets of the world and all that is hidden, that is hidden in all that exists. All that we're trying to do in this world is to somehow, on some level, to be able to have some access to that knowledge that's called Ata Yoder Raze Olam. And therefore, even when something like I was saying before, that when you see a kid and the kid is acting crazy, you have to ask Hashem, Rabbi Shalom, you know the secret of this child. I don't know what's going on with him or with her. I don't understand. I don't know what's hidden in this living being that's my child. I don't know what's hidden in this creature. I don't understand. And I could make a terrible mistake by treating this child as somebody or something that is not Paul Hashem. There's a deep secret to this child. I don't know what it is. And I'm asking you to help me to understand. Because Hashem, you're the one that you know Raze Olam, Saluma Sisre Kolcha. You know who this child really is. I don't understand him. I don't know who she is. I don't know who he is. And Ati Adair Raze Olam. So help me to understand. Give me a little bit. Chanein Me'itcha Chachma Bina V'Das, to understand a little bit something of who this child is. So when the Rebbe Hashav said, don't see that, he was saying, what you're looking at a kid that's reading a Goyisha book, don't see that. He wasn't saying to be naive and to make believe that everything is fine. In those years, for somebody to be caught like that, that was a serious thing. But he's saying is, he's telling this teacher, the boy's teacher, to the Malamed, I know what you're seeing, but don't see that, because that's just the lowest part of something that's much, much higher. And what you could have before you is Davka, a child who is so desperate to know the truth that he's not finding it in your class. You know, he's just not getting it in the classroom. So he's looking someplace else. The same way when you have a boy that's acting out, looking for a girl, so what's he? He's looking for half. He's looking for love. What's he looking for? So you could either say, he's about Taiva. It comes out, the last stop is Taiva. So he's with a girl and they're going off and doing stuff. That's the last stop. But what's the ruz? What's the secret of this boy and girl? What's the secret? The secret is that they're looking for something. They're looking for Ahava. Maybe they're not getting enough Ahava. Not from their parents, not from the teachers. And they don't feel that coming from Hashem, so they're looking for it over here. So it's not such a complicated thing. I think you all remember it was going around a few months ago from the great tzaddik Rabbi Aaron Leib Shteimer Zechman Levoch, how there was that nice that happened that there was a. I'm just reminding you because of what we're talking about, that there was a father that came to complain about his kid, and the yeshiva wanted to throw this kid out, and because the boy was hanging out with a girl. Okay, this is in Bnei Brak, in a different kind of a culture, and you know, we're not talking about Central Avenue, where if you didn't do that, then you have to be checked. So the yeshiva wants to throw the boy out. The father's angry. The boy, what's the matter? How can it be such a thing from our family that he has a girlfriend, the whole thing. So remember that what happened, that Rabbi Aaron Leib asked to meet with the boy and the girl, which they thought was outrageous. That's like Kielu, he's giving some sort of a stamp of that there's actually a relationship here, where the parents are just don't want this to be. He says, I'd like to speak to the boy and girl. And Rabbi Aaron Leib meets with the boy and the girl. And we spent some time with them talking about other things in a very sweet way, the way he always spoke. And then afterwards, he met with the father, and he said to the father, if you would look at your son the way that young lady does, he wouldn't be looking for girls. That's what he said. If you would look at him the way she looks at him, you wouldn't have any problems. The yeshiva would have no problems. He said, old Rav Steinman from Brisk, right? There's an understanding of what the Rebbe Rashab was saying is, don't see that. Don't see that. You're looking at that. The blind beggar says, I see so much that I don't see anything at all. I don't see it. Meaning, I see the stalshlus of Paul Hashem. But these are two people that are looking for ahava, and they're not getting ahava. They're not feeling that they're loved. So they're prematurely looking for a certain kind of a relationship. They should normally wait until it's time to get married, but they're looking for it now. This is not such a hard thing to understand. It's not for this. You don't have to be a Vilna Gaon. You don't have to be such a Talmud Chacham or a genius to figure this out. What they're looking for. And what Rav Steinemann was saying is that to see it, don't see this part of it. See it. Look at something from a higher point of the Hishtalshlus than where you're looking at it, because this is not it. Everything is Paul Hashem. It means that when you're looking at a Jew, as damaged and as flawed and as broken as he is, he comes from such a place of. Tachas Kisei HaKavod, the Neshama comes from under the Kisei HaKavod. So it's a damaged and broken Jew in this world, and the only way to help this person, and this is the way that tzaddikim were helping, is by looking at the person from a different perspective, from a higher place in the sulam, in that ladder of Atzilus, to see the person in such a way. And when you spend a little bit of time with a tzaddik, so then you feel different about yourself. Because you feel, here's somebody that sees me. This is somebody that sees me. My father doesn't see me, my mother doesn't see me, my rebbe doesn't see me, but when you're in the tzaddik, you feel that the tzaddik, here's somebody that sees me. He sees higher than all the stuff that I'm faking and making believe and acting out and carrying on and getting thrown out and this and that. The tzaddik sees me. Yitzhak Avinu had such eyes that he didn't see what Esav was doing. You understand? That's pretty hard. He didn't see what Esav was doing. Vatikena einav mir eyes. He didn't see what Esav was doing. But you think Yitzhak Avinu doesn't know? But Yitzhak Avinu was trying to save Esav, because Esav was a difficult parasha, and Yitzhak Avinu wanted to save his son. So Rivka Imenu saw Esav. She's a Heves Yaakov. How could you not? What kind of choice is it between Yaakov and Esav? And all of us feel, what a Rachman is. The father, Nebuchadnezzar, is blind. He doesn't know what's going on in his own house. Yitzhak Avinu doesn't know what's going on in his own house. Ve'yehav Yitzhak is Esav kitzayid b'fiv. The Indian of Esav, what he could have been, and how Yitzhak tried to save him. Meaning, Yitzhak was saying to Rivka without speaking. That itself is a pella. The whole meaning of Yitzhak is the deepest, deepest, deepest wonder of all Tanakh and all Torah Shabbat Peh is Yitzhak Avinu. Hands down. Doesn't speak, doesn't see. What Yitzhak Avinu is silently saying is, don't look at Esav. Don't see Esav. Everybody's charmed by Yaakov. Yaakov is an Ishtam Yeshev Ha'olam. How can you not love Yaakov? But what about the kid that's not likable? What about the kid that no one likes? And from a very early time in his life, he feels that no one likes him. It's so clear to him that no one likes him. He's not the good kid in class. So Yitzhak Avinu has such eyes. So he said, I don't see anything. I see so much that I don't see anything. Because I see so much of who Esav really is, I don't see anything about what he's doing here. In other words, I don't define him by the things that he's doing here, because that's not who he truly is. That's not who he truly is. Any time that you have a teacher or a parent that relates to a child in the way of Das HaKadosh Mimkor HaChayim, the child becomes a different child, is different. Any time that a child feels that my teacher looks up to me, as somebody that's good, that kid will the kid will love the teacher and will be able to respond to that teacher and to that parent. But every time you look at the kid for what you see just in this world, which the eyes of chol, which is knowledge that is, which is called secular knowledge, a secular way of knowing something and someone, not from the perspective of das hakodesh, so then the kid just acts out according to the way that you see him. Therefore, he says, v'chol ha-musar ha-kloli v'ha-prati, which is exactly what we're talking about now. V'chol ha-musar ha-kloli v'ha-prati. All general and particular musar, I was translating things, ethics, but the musar, everybody knows. Musar means to give over the right way to live, the right way to be. V'chol ha-musar ha-kloli v'ha-prati. The ability to improve the pathways of life, to live a more decent, honest, and upright life. A pathway of righteousness, of yashrus, in the life of the individual and the life of the klal. Hakol tolui hui va'omed lahagia al machoin tamusai. Everything depends upon. Hakol tolui hui va'omed. Everything is, well, tolui hui va'omed is more, not depending upon, is sort of, everything is anticipating and waiting and longing. Lahagia al machoin tamusai. In other words, righteousness, morals, ethics, and all that's good in life of the individual and the tzibur and the people. It's all ultimately, it's all anticipating and longing to ultimately come to machan tumus, to its perfect, to that place of perfection, to that to be established in a perfect way. All ethics and all musar is to try to help us to become better. But ultimately, that man should be able to perfect himself. That's only al yidei his vadus shel ha-hakara b'mekor yusa. It's only by being able to encounter the hakar, this to encounter this musa, this mida b'mekor yusa in its source. In other words, we have everybody knows, in the whole world knows, that kindness is something to aspire to. Chesed, to be kind. But what kindness really is? What is chesed? What is kindness? Because Chazal say that sometimes you have to act in a way that's cruel. And that if you act in a way that's kind to the wrong person, then that could be a terrible cruelty. It could be terribly cruel. So what is kindness? How do we define kindness? So somebody was telling me that just as an example of what's going on in the universities that now, somebody was saying that there's a whole movement against any scholarship or any teaching that would say that being obese, being overweight, is unhealthy. why would anybody be against teaching that or writing articles and books about that? The Torah says because that's hurtful to heavy people. That makes heavy people feel bad. My way of thinking is it's better they should feel bad instead of dropping dead when they're 42, no? But because you can't make this obese person feel bad, therefore we have, because now the Indian is not about thinking and understanding, it's not about the truth, it's about how everybody feels. So we're afraid to hurt the feelings, so we, therefore there's a whole new, like, scholarship, you know, fat studies about how to spin the Indian of obesity in a way that's not hurtful to people who are overweight, which is a very hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. And it sounds so silly. But this is what's happening in the universities, Keseda. Now, that's already fafan in the universities. It's not a matter of what's right and what's wrong. It's not really what chesed is. The greatest chesed, of course, is to help this person overcome, if possible, to overcome this obesity because it's not healthy. But if I can't say that it's not healthy, and I have to say that the highest level of chesed is what? Is telling the fat person, hey, everything is fine. Are you taking up 4 seats in the airplane? That's okay. That's okay. You know, you're no different than me. Everything is fine. That's called kindness. That's called chesed. So every midah can be understood through human wisdom and intellect. Every midah could be understood in a way that is so far, 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 completely far from the truth. Only with Chochmas HaKodesh, Rav Kook is saying, is that to truly improve the pathways of life, in other words, to understand what is chesed really. What does it mean? What is kindness? What does it mean, kindness? What is kindness? How do we understand kindness? Only through Chochmas HaKodesh can we understand what kindness really is. Kindness means sometimes to say no. But to say to this person, being overweight is not healthy for you. We're not saying you're bad. We're not saying Chas V'Shalom, there's anything not nice about you, that you're not good. You're wonderful. But you have, this is an unhealthy inyan. Being obese is unhealthy. And the kindest thing I could do for you is to help you overcome this. I'm trying to be kind to you. So, what is kindness? Now, we fall into these things all the time. I've given you a very, very extreme example, this business, you know, of obesity. But we do this all the time. This all the time. And when you talk now to anybody that's under 25, 30, it's a natural part of the conversation, right? That's why the word now that's the most important word in the vocabulary of any young person, the most important word in the vocabulary of a young person. It's one word, the most important word that young people hear. Is maybe it's not negay to you. I don't want to make you feel good. But there's one word that's the most important word. It's called validate. Validation. You ever hear that word, validate? I never heard that word when I was growing up, validate. It used to be like on a, you know, if you had a ticket or something, or you had a, it would get validated. I don't know. The passport was validated. I didn't know that people had to be validated. Now, you could say that the dumbest thing, you could do the craziest thing, and I have to validate that. I find it so unbelievably frustrating because I can't have an honest conversation with young people. It's very hard to have an honest conversation with young people because the person, at some point, if you disagree and you're trying to make a point, the person will say, I don't feel validated. And I say, what do I say? I don't feel validated. You're saying something that's not validating. So I say, you mean I'm disagreeing with you? Maybe you're wrong. How do you have a conversation like that? Am I the only person that's ever experienced this? I never looked up. Well, this is causing me pain. I had a conversation with some girl yesterday. She said that what I said is causing her pain. I said, "Oh, what's the pain? The pain is that you're saying something. I'm respectfully, very nicely disagreeing with you, and trying to point out that maybe it's not that. And now I'm not validating you, and this is causing you pain. And then you know better than my mother, and you know better than the, and you're causing me pain. Now, how do you continue the conversation? All right, I don't want to cause you any pain. You know, have a nice day. I don't know what to tell you. This is the word, validate. Everybody has to feel validated. Makes no difference what you do. It makes no difference how you act. You have to be validated. This comes from before Mashiach, that there's such an inyan in the world, we have to always try to understand. Like it is a very deep inyan. Why is it that people so desperately need to feel validated? What does that mean? Like, why do I have to agree with you in order for you to feel that you're a human being? Otherwise, you're in pain if I disagree with you. Why does that cause you pain if I disagree? Why don't you just say, okay, you think that way, I think this way. Why does that cause you pain? Why do you feel not validated? Why does that make you feel like suicidal or something? What happened? Why did this come down before Mashiach such an inyan? So I'm saying we could find that in how it's crept into our way of thinking. You know, those corrupted ideas of chesed, of kindness. This too is a terribly corrupted form of kindness, because I'm validating this person by agreeing with this person. I could be totally messing up her life. Sure, why don't you continue to spend Saturday night, you know, taking drugs, and you know, I think that's a great thing. I think you just have to be yourself, and I think that, you know, people don't really understand you, and I just want to validate that it's important that you take drugs every Saturday night, and so that's being kind. So she says, "Oh, thank you." She'll say, "Rabbi, thank you, so nice. You're the only rabbi that ever told me that I could take drugs. It's so nice of you. I feel validated. I really do. I really feel validated." So that's a chesed. Think of how we do that all the time now. It's already crept into us. This comes from the universities. This comes from the stuff. This inyan of validation. What Rav Kook is saying is that kol hatavas orchas achayim, whatever improvement there can be in the pathways of life, which means perfection means what? To recognize things, to see things from the source of where it comes. B'makaryusa means from through Chochmas HaKodesh. Shehi holeches u'misnaseis lefi oisa hamida sheyichasef ha'hoid shel or ha'chaim shemekor ha'kodesh. This true recognition of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what's ethical, what's moral, and so on. This true understanding is holeches u'misnaseis, is becoming increasingly elevated or revealed to the degree that the light of life, from Makor HaKadosh, from the source of all holiness, is allowed to be manifest in our lives, to appear in our lives. Shu Zohar HaEmes, which is the Zohar, the shining light of the absolute truth. Zohar HaEmes, not relative truth, not validation, absolute truth. Zohar HaEmes. There is absolute truth. Now, we can't always live according to that absolute truth. The Emes says that's between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon. The Bav Shabbat had a sikha on this inyan of Moshe and Aharon. Aharon was very, 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 very beloved. Moshe Rabbeinu people had more problems with, right? That's everybody knows. Aharon, he was the man. And the Bav Shabbat Yisrael speaks about how Moshe Rabbeinu's way was Yikav HaDin Sahar. Moshe Rabbeinu was pure Emes, Moshe Emes, Vesaroso Emes, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the validating type, you understand? I mean, to use such a language, to lahavdil, and not we don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu not accused of, but he was Yikrei V'Adin, so how the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu said that din is din, right is right and wrong is wrong. Gandik, you don't win a popularity contest like that. You understand? Right is right, wrong is wrong. Aaron had a different mahalach. The Indian of Aaron was, you should know that your wife Mamish misses you and she loves you. She feels terrible about what she said to you. Yeah. You know the how he used to go to the husband. He goes to the wife. You know your husband. Hey, how much he loves you. What he used to tell. He can't stop talking about how bad he made you feel. He feels terrible. Yeah, he didn't act that way. No. He told me he feels terrible. So Aaron was the biggest liar that ever lived. And it says in Navi, Emes Haisa Befiu, Mal Hashem Savokas, Emes Haisa Befiu. And the Aaron's avoida was me'ain. What's happening now? There's an Indian of Aaron HaKohen was to use this koyach of schus and validation to try to help people in such a way, but it was only to get to the makor ha'emes. You understand? Because they really did love each other. It wasn't like this stuff that goes on. They really did love each other, and the chitzonius was that they were having a fight. So Aaron used such a way, in that way of toiv, he used it to get to the bottom of things, to be megalot, not to chas v'shalom change reality, but to get to true reality. But there's an Indian, there's a place in halacha, midneidak yishalom, to lie, midneidak yishalom, to say something that's not entirely true, then that midneidak yishalom. Why? Because the shalom is the highest truth. So there was a different method that Aaron used and Moshe Rabbeinu used. Moshe Rabbeinu's mahalach was yikav and yisar straight, and Aaron had an Indian of using this mahalach, which nowadays you have to be to talk to people to try to help them. It's come out impossible to go with Moshe Rabbeinu. People don't want anymore to tell me what's wrong with me. You really want to know? No. tell me what the problem is. Very few people want that now. They want to be told that you're not the problem. Your parents are the problem. Your Rebbe is the problem. The world is the problem. Trump is your problem. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. You mean I'm good? You're the best. So I should feel validated? You're 100% validated. Here, you take the stamp now. You're valid. There's a valid person now. Everybody has to walk around. Every Rebbe, every parent has to walk around with a stempel that says on it, valid. And you can say to the kid, come over here. And you pick up your hair. Boom. Valid. You are valid. I feel validated. Yeah. And you can walk around and show everybody, see, I'm valid. My teacher, my Rebbe, my parents, and you have all different things like smileys and valids and everything. You can have a kid now, he gets like a 30 on a test, and he's got smileys all over the test. Valid. I don't feel validated. I failed the test. I don't feel that you validated me. But you didn't know the answers. Yeah, but that hurts me to say that I don't know that I feel bad when you say that. Okay, so here's a smiley and 100 and or now like one of my grandchildren had a grade like it was 119. I said, what's 119? What does that mean, 119? And I looked at the paper, and this was more like an 87. Truth is, maybe with the words, and this, I don't know. It wasn't 119. With all different smileys and pictures and things like that. It's nice, no? There's an Indian like that, I understand. There's an Indian like that. And if you're a boss now, also with a company, a corporation, and everything, validate, and everything's validated. The guy just lost for your company $14 million because he made a mistake. Oh, that's okay. You know, it's their fault, and so I shouldn't feel bad about myself. No. You're valid. Okay, I'm valid, then I feel good. Then I don't have to go home and kill my wife and kids. No, you're valid. We validate you. You're validated. So the truth of what chesed is and what gevura is, what does it mean to be a gib? What's gevura? What's chesed? What's teferis? What's netzach? Okay. The only way to understand the emes is when you learn Pnimis HaTorah, then you understand what atzilus and what the midas are. What is chesed? What is gevura? What is teferis? And through that we ascend higher and higher on that ladder towards the absolute truth of chayachay, which is kodesh. So kodesh means everything. Everything I try to see it in the way like Yitzchak, you know, not to see it, but to see where it comes from, and to understand, and to try to figure out, of course, the learning, the svarim, speaking to tzaddikim, and so on. What is this really? Because I don't get this. What is this really? What is this? So what Rav Kook is saying is that Shelach mizanz lefi oisa midas sheyachasif ha'hoid shel ora chaim shem makor ha'kodesh. The hoid ha'chaim, the splendor of life. It only comes from the makor ha'kodesh, from the source of kodesh, of kedusha. Shul zohar ha'emes. That is the zohar ha'emes. Obviously he's alluding to the zohar ha'kodesh itself, but zohar ha'emes, that's the true light. Zohar ha'emes. That's the zohar ha'emes. Or Hashem, Mechaylo Kol, the light of Hashem, the creator of all that exists. He's the creator of all that exists, and every single thing that exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our job is to try to figure out as much as we are allowed to, as much as we can, how does Hashem understand what chesed is? How does Hashem understand what water is? How does Hashem understand what a tree is? How does Hashem understand? And to try to adjust my way of thinking to that, to Hashem's way, and say, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what's chesed, what's gur, to try to adjust everything as much as I can, that it should be Das Hashem. That's called Chochmas HaKadosh. Now, I think you have, it was sent to you, if you're registered or whatever that you have to do, if you have Moshe David sent. So next week we're going to try to learn from the Nazir a little bit of the Nazir Shir from what we just learned. So you should have it on your phone. Shkach, have a good Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos. Shabbos.